Current events of 2013. I read this to you almost a year ago. Sometimes there comes a time that we have to be more specific as signs are given. You know, we're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, that God placed the lights in the heavens, and He placed them there for signs and for seasons. And incidentally, do you know what 14 stands for in numerics biblically? Deliverance and salvation. It usually always has to do with the coming of the Savior. So that's going to be in this lecture today, so be sure and pay attention to it. Now, what about December solstice? That'd be December the 21st. It is the moment when the Earth's north pole is tilted most away from the sun, giving midwinter for our northern hemisphere, midsummer for the southern. The sun appears to travel along the ecliptic, a great circle that has to cross every other great circle at two points. And one of these great circles is the Gallic equator, or what we would call midline of the Milky Way. In 2012, the instant of the solstice, in December the 21st, that's the 11th hour, the 12th minute, universal time, the solstice point, like all points on the ecliptic, moves slowly westward, rightward, at about 1/72 of a degree per year because of the precession. The claim is that in 2012 it will have arrived at the exact point where the ecliptic crosses the galactic equator. This will last have happened 25,800 years ago, the length of the professional cycle. 25 is forgiveness of sins. 8 is new beginnings. Now, we need to take a closer look at this, though. What happened 14 years ago? 14 years ago, this particular sign touched. Consider the Milky Way to be a wide river of stars, of dust. And the ecliptic was touched 14 years ago. Now, 14 has to do with, again, with deliverance and salvation. But now God, when He puts a sign in the heavens, 25,800 years ago was back in the first earth age. Doesn't come along that often. So we need to pay real close attention to this. It hit the very edge in the year of our Lord, 1998. That was 14 years ago. 14 being deliverance and salvation. What do you think was happening there in that year? 1998. August the 20th, U.S. Embassy bombings. The United States military launches cruise missile attacks against alleged Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan and a suspected chemical plant in Sudan in retaliation for the August 7th bombings of American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. It started. So again, the sign is there. Okay. Now, then what else happened? November the 20th. A court in Taliban-controlled Afghanistan declares accused terrorist Osama bin Laden a man without sin in regard to the 1998 U.S. Embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. Of course, we know that's not true. We know he had a great deal to do with it. What happened 3.5 years after this, approximately? There were 4 bound angels, as it's written in Revelation chapter 9, verse 14, 14 being deliverance and salvation, loosed. Each evil spirit in an airplane, one for each of the towers, one for the Pentagon, and one in a field in Pennsylvania because our people woke up as to what was happening. You know, evil spirits don't die in crashes, but idiots do. Okay, and I'm not talking about the innocents, I'm talking about the people that caused it. So you see, this means a great deal to us, these signs of the end times. Is it supposition? Consider it so. You're a watchman. You're supposed to watch. Time has proceeded on from this until you begin to see it come all the way up to 9/11 of 12, just before this center point was hit. Okay, and we had an attack in Libya, a country that we have free. Okay, free from what? Free from its ruler. Who took over? The Brotherhood, the Islamic Brotherhood. It would seem that our government is almost helping the Islamic Brotherhood take over. Look at Egypt. Yeah, you know, 14 years, a lot has passed in that time, and now we hit dead center. What does that mean? It's a benchmark. And certainly you want to be careful from this point out as to what transpires. You're a watchman. You're supposed to watch. Well, can we take that down? No, you can do whatever you want to with it. But when we only have this happen 25,800 years, you want to pay attention. It's important. And certainly it would appear from the signs that we're seeing exactly why that is. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was converted in the year of our Lord, 37 A.D. But then, after his conversion, he was taken to a place. It would be 14 years before what we're talking. Well, there's that 14 again. Deliverance and salvation. He was taken to the third heaven and shown some things. A mystery. In 53 A.D., he wrote his first epistle. What was that first epistle that Paul wrote? It's important. It was the first and second Thessalonians. They were the first epistles that Paul wrote in the New Testament, and some say that they were the first entirely of the New Testament, be that as it may. Then in 57 A.D., this bothers Paul. He wants to share it. So this is where we pick it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, is 57 A.D. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. That takes you back to 43. Whether in body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Now, there are not different heavens. This is the third heaven age. It's where you will be after the millennium. He was showing things there. What did he say? 3. And I knew such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now, we know from his own writings in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. So he was in his spiritual body. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise, that's heaven, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. It's not legal to. Why? God told him to hold it. Verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He didn't want to tell people he had been to the third heaven. Why? Because they would make something out of him that he wasn't. This man persecuted the church really more than anyone else. He was always guilty about that. And you'll find why he wanted to be in his infirmities, weaknesses. Okay. 6. But though I would desire to glory, I'd like to really talk about it. I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. He was a plain man. God used him? Yes. Well, why did God use him? For our benefit. For all of God's children's benefit. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, people try to make something out of me I wasn't. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, listen to it carefully, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When you're the weakest, I'm the strongest. That's when he gives us help. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. Now, it's important that we understand as best we can what that revelation was. Because Paul lets you know if you pay attention to his writings. Again, I will emphasize what was his first writing. After all those years, it was Thessalonians. But we're going to take a little short, turn over a book or two past this to Ephesians. And let's analyze and let's piece together. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensations of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, if you've heard that God has spoken to me, that I have an opinion, and God has led me into knowing what's going to be, what those dispensations mean. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Where did he write about that mystery? Romans, the 16th chapter. I want you to know something. This word mystery is mysterion. And calling it a mystery doesn't cut it. And this is important, beloved. Listen carefully. Mysterion. What does it really mean being translated? It means a sacred secret or divine secret. There's a lot of difference in mystery and a divine secret. It is for this reason that only certain ones have ears to hear, that have eyes to see. Why? Because they are chosen to pick up on that mystery, that divine secret. And it's really not a secret anymore, because Paul, in his teachings, has brought it forth and brought it forth strongly. Well, what does it have to do with the return of Christ and our salvation? And certainly he makes that very clear. But again, it's important that you know. Mysterion means not mystery, but a divine truth. And you need that divine secret. And we gain it by studying God's word. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you will understand it. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, you must understand my knowledge in the mystery, That's that divine secret of Christ. He gave it to me. Okay. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. It's now made known that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise of Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of Christ given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Not mine. I can't boast about it, he's saying. But Christ gave it to me. Why? To deliver, to teach, to lead, to comfort. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so it was that he would. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That's to say, the divine secret, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. You know, it wasn't a secret 25,800 years ago. That's when it began to formulate. That's when the overthrow took place or was leading to it. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, those are even angels, both bound and free, good and bad, demonic and loving, both to all, in other words, places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. What God wants you to know, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, is he's still on the throne. And if you know this divine secret, you've got nothing to worry about. Because you know what befalls us in this generation. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, it was there all the time. Now, let's go to Paul's. Why would he? Here he wants to tell, he wants people to know. So here is his first epistle written in 53 A.D. This is, in 43 he was taken to the third heaven. It was 57 when he wrote there in Corinthians where we were reading. But he wanted, so naturally, when he has the opportunity to write his first epistle, if you pay close attention and you pick up on the subject, you're going to know what's going to happen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians and let's just play a little game here of picking Paul's mind. What is he trying to tell us? What is the subject of Thessalonians, which is to say Paul's first letter? It was most important to him that this message come forth. Read the 10th verse of chapter 1. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. In other words, the return of Christ. That's what he's talking about. Skip to the verse 19 of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? His coming is the subject. And this is why Paul stressed, he pulled, he wanted you to see and to understand. Go on to chapter 3. Go to the last verse of chapter 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints, all those that have passed on, that have served him, all people that knew that divine secret, and God took them home, putting together an army there to bring back with him when he comes. And we're approaching that time sooner than many might think. But at the same time, if you know the divine secret, you know the chronological order of events. By that I mean, you know what must happen first before he returns. And when you realize what has happened in the last 14 years, it's leading right to it. I mean, it is a carbon copy. Why would Paul say 14 years? Why would he wait 14 years? Delivery and salvation. That's the message. And, of course, I need not go into chapter 4 because that's where many people think they're going to fly. Okay. All he was saying is all those that have passed on are with him. They've risen as he is. And so it is. Let's read a few verses, though, of chapter 5. Paul's mind in his first epistle, listen to it. He'd been to the third heaven. He had these messages that it was illegal to go into every detail, but he's teaching so that it comes out slowly and graciously. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because if you've listened to him, you already know. For yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You see, you're a child of the day, though. You're never in the night. So you're going to know, but the people that do not know the divine secret, they will be deceived. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape the birth of a new age. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? The divine secret. Not going to overtake you. You're a child of the day, and you know and understand. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You're not of Satan. We don't listen to him. Now, Paul continues on into, he wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians, and you've all heard me teach it many times. He wrote it while Timothy and Silas were still there. So it follows in this, at the same time, because he knew some had been deceived a little bit about the divine secret. He wants to straighten it out. So go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And bearing in mind, this is the first epistle and second that Paul ever wrote. He was bringing forth that divine truth, that mystery. And we'll document it before we finish here. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. What he's saying here, I beg you to listen to me. I want to tell you how it's going to be for when Christ returns. Here he's laying it out level, right on the table. And how it is when you gather back to Christ. Don't ever let anyone take this away from you, because you're a child of light and you can see, know, and understand. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't listen to a bunch of yo-yos that might tell you something different. This is the way, he said, this is the way it's going to be. Now, what this shucks down to, you either believe God's word or you believe yo-yos. Okay. Now, that's just how simple it is. Paul was taken to the third heaven. That's where we will be. He was showing these things, and now he shares it. He said, it's real simple. You're a child of light. Don't let some word, some letter, even a letter from us, like chapter 4 of the last one, deceive you. It's not going to happen until these things happen. He's giving you the chronological order of events. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Christ is returning before the Antichrist comes. They're not. He's not. But your whole destiny is to witness against the false one. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you know what? The whole world's going to follow him that is not familiar with the divine secret, the sacred secret, the truth. And it's so simple when you have eyes to see and ears to hear. A child can understand it. Your proof is, how many times have you tried to get someone without ears to hear this? What did they say to you? What? It is not a thing that they are dumb or stupid. It's just that they have not been given the privilege of knowing the divine secret, whereas you have. A child can understand it if they're chosen and if they earn that right naturally in the first earth age. But he's telling you here exactly how it's going to be. Now, you're going to hear people say, though, there's going to be terrible wars. There's not. Okay. This dude comes in peacefully and prosperously. And when he comes in that way, that's not what people are being fed. That's not what they're expecting. But it's what you know is going to happen. So do not be deceived by that false peace. Though it may look good, it may taste good, it may seem good, it's the false one himself. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. We talked about it, remember? Verse 9, for now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. When it's time for him to come, you'll know it, just like that. You know what he's going to do? He's going to sit in Jerusalem claiming to be God. Listen carefully. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. There's that mystery again. That's the divine secret. It's already working. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. You've always heard me say that's a transitive verb. You have to transfer back to verse 4 where he stands in the holy place, the temple, claiming to be God. Who is it that holds him? Michael does. You can read it in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Michael holds him until it's time that he and his angels, and there'll be more than the four that are loose now. There'll be more than that cast out with Satan. They cannot harm you, though. Why? You're a child of God, and you have that divine secret. They don't have to tell you when the time is. You'll know it. You're a child of the day. But the night is coming, and the night is darkness and Satan's lies and misleading people. So hang on to that precious truth for the mystery. That's the mysterion. The divine secret's already working. It's here with us now. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Christ does come, it's over for Satan, and it's over for those that follow him. The subject still is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This 8th verse declares it. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's the false Messiah. That's a role that Satan will play. That office is taken from him and cast into the lake of fire. He will be loosed for a short season at the end of the millennium, but he will not have that power again. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God, listen to what God's going to do, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. And they love it. Okay. Once they grab that lie, there's nothing you can do about it, basically, unless God touches them. And that in itself proves the word of God is truth. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification. That's what 14 stands for. Okay. Through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The truth, when you begin to absorb that divine secret, that sacred secret, which is translated mystery in Paul's writings, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Can you do that? Stand fast in the Lord Jesus. Don't listen to yo-yos that would tell you any different than how this is written. This is line by line, act by act, exactly how it's going to go down. Paul was taken to the third heaven and shown this in person, right from the throne of God. So don't let some yo-yo deceive you. This is how it happens. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation of good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And so he does. What is the good word and what is the good work? The divine secret. The sacred secret. And really there's nothing secret about it. We have many things that will be happening in this year. These things must happen before Christ returns. But we are coming to that point where you're going to see things. There is a comet that has just been discovered that is moving closer in. That's going to put on quite a show before this year is over. It will go very near the sun. We'll be talking more about that at Passover and about other things in relationship to this. Now, I want to leave one thought in closing, and I may be closing a little early, but I've had it, okay? This is it. Eraser of taxes, mouthing doesn't get it done. It's when the man actually, physically raises the taxes that he becomes the getter of taxes. When did that happen? January the 1st, 2013. So you're living in an interesting time, and you're going to see many prophecies come to pass. So I leave that with you, because many people get the cart before the horse. They get anxious. Look at facts. Analyze. We've known this ecliptic happening for quite some time. But it now is only time to look at it in detail. 14 years it took to go from the line to the center. And in that 14 years, we were awake to what was happening. But this nails it, whereby you have a better opportunity. And certainly we will pick this up. It's continued until Passover. So what can I say to you? I love you. He is on the throne. And you've got nothing to worry about. We have the power of the living God. Beast on.